I'm recording on both sides now. What's your favorite cover? Tonight on TMSPM, construction barf.
That lady did not like your pee-pee doll.
No, she didn't. Sesame Street says bye.
People upset at Bradley Cooper.
Lohan be tripping, yo.
Dan the tabletop man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM, the PM edition of the Thursday show, July 28th, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Well, hello there, Scott.
It's 4 days after Utah Day. And people are still doing fireworks at night. It's great.
Oh, I hate that. You wish they'd just run out. Just use them all up on the day you're supposed to use them.
Until like a whole month of this BS drives me crazy.
Little bit of pee that trickles out after you've already zipped up and walked out to the rest of your family at the restaurant.
Aren't you supposed to? What's the trick? Do you have a trick for that? This is a very male problem, but what do we do? How do we do it?
Yeah, I pretend to spill a glass of water on my lap and say, oh, darn it.
Ah, shoot. Is there a napkin? Who has a napkin?
Like a trick? I mean,
oops.
If you shake it more than four times, it's...
Yeah, what's the old saying? You're messing with it there.
Exactly.
So I saw something today that shocked me and left me a little shaken. Yesterday Nick witnessed the breakup of the Chinese rocket in space.
Right.
And today I witnessed the breakup of a very nice Mexican man's lunch.
Well put.
Yeah.
For me reading the description here, I think that's a very eloquent way to describe what you saw.
And there was some elevation to where he was, not quite outer space or the atmosphere, but it was, up there, a couple of floors. Mm-hmm. So we have these townhomes going in across the street, as you know, and they're dutifully being built quickly and all that, and the next door construction is pretty much stopped. They're kind of done. They're doing interiors and some landscaping. That's it. So they're pretty much done over there. That weird corner guy can't back out of his thing is still a problem.
Oh yeah, right.
Well, I'll keep everyone abreast of how that goes. Right now, it really has nothing to do with me. If they hit my fence, then they pay for it, or insurance does. So no big deal. Then we put in a big cement thing that's going to ruin their lives. It's on them is what I'm saying. And none of this is my decision. Right. So we were like really concerned the other day. We were like, well, maybe the city doesn't have us, like maybe our property line is different and it doesn't have that cut right there. We should look it up. And while she's asking me this, I have Pokemon Go open. And I noticed that even in the Pokemon Go, the oversimplified Pokemon Go app, it shows my house with that little jut on it.
Really?
Yeah. So I think
that's funny.
It must be official. Like that is really my property line.
Yeah, it's got to be on the official registry, because I don't even think Google Maps. Well, I guess Google Maps does show property lines.
Yeah,
to some degree.
But they get that, I think, from official sources too. So I think at the end of the day, you're right. There's someone somewhere has official stuff, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And these guys completely screwed up. So if they did. Hey, man, it's not my problem. If you want to trap some poor couple in their home because there's a giant pile of snow in the winter and they can't get past it, that's on you. I'm not. And there's somebody else says, well, you know what they sometimes do? They'll come to you and they'll say, we're going to push your property line back and we'll buy that little bit of land there that's jutting out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, 30 grand. Let me know how it goes. I'm all ready. I'm going to be the grumpiest, most stubborn bastard about this.
Oh, totally. You're seeing... I'm seeing a new router. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a new computer.
All kinds of new stuff. Yeah, the studio could use a real refresh. Getting some new lighting back here. I have a little video set on the other end over there, I'm thinking. I got ideas.
Nice.
Give me your 30 grand right now. Anyway, and my wife goes, well, yeah, we could do that for like 10. I went, up. I will do. I'm doing the negotiations. We will not ask for anything less.
I'm going to say that she's not authorized to make those decisions.
Yeah, she's not officially signed on to do any of this. She claims to have graduated from the University of Slovenia. That is untrue, and we will delete her webpage. Which actually happened today. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How do you say her name?
Melania.
Melania Trump's webpage suddenly disappeared, and it's the site that had all the data about where she graduated and went to school, which was vetted as not being accurate and doesn't exist.
It's not like, hot Slovakian women for you.ru.
No, no, it was like melaniatrump.com or something. And now it goes, now it just auto directs to elect Trump, whatever campaign deal. So
okay.
Apparently no one cares about that site anymore. Anyway, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I watched the guy barf off of a 2-story building. And I don't know what happened or what was going on, but all I know is I was outside with the dog. It's super hot today. It's like 103 degrees. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of roasting out there and chilling and dogs, you know, panting. And I'm looking around and I'm watching some people work. And I see a guy come out on what is going to be eventually somebody's deck up there. And these are big, nice, sort of expensive townhome things. And the last thing you expect to see is, you know, Guadalupe come out of the side there. And he just looks around for a second. He's got a big sort of tool, like a Sawzall looking tool.
I think Guadalupe is a women's Hispanic women's name. Just
is it? Okay. I don't know. I was being stereotyped.
Just for some sort of
I was
let's stave off one of the 45 emails that you're going to get.
I got a big bag of stereotypes right here, and I just pulled one at random. Anyway, this person comes out there, and he's got a big like power tool looking thing. I don't know what it was. It looked like a saw or something. Mm-hmm. And he stands out there, and he's got a hat on. And it's kind of like, I'm not, or I am wearing one, but it's not
like
on backwards.
A hard hat or a...
Like a hat, like just a normal, like a trucker hat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he looks around, and he looks around this way, and then he looks sort of facing forward, kind of my direction, takes off his hat, almost like he's bowing. So he takes off his hat, bows over the thing, just yaks off the edge of this thing. Puts the hat back on, go back to work. And I hear him go back in the building and I hear something go. So he just went right back to sawing whatever he was
saying. Wow.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Too much wine. Was that the deal? Is that they were having wine while they were doing construction? Or was that the...
I don't know. Is that a thing?
I thought that was a thing you told me.
Next door. Yeah. Could be. They all seem to be very dainty about it. But this, maybe over there, they're just chugging it, you know?
Right.
Horking it down.
Just the Jose Cuervo. We found a stash, by the way. They're doing some construction work at this field just around the corner from us. Not as close as you, and I probably, even if I open the window, I probably couldn't hear what they're doing out there unless they're doing some really loud nail gun stuff. But, you know, we take our walks every once in a while, walk the dogs out there, and stumbled upon a nest of empty Jose Cuervo bottles kind of in the middle of the construction site.
Yeah. That seems like a problem.
Beer, fine, but
that's hard liquor.
Put away an entire bottle of that stuff.
Yeah, that's hard liquor, right?
That is hard liquor. That is tequila.
Yeah. See, and I don't know much, but I do know that sounds like a lot of whatever that is.
Yes, you would have had that in your virgin margarita.
Nice quote there.
Your margarita virgino.
Yeah, that virgino he brought me.
Yes.
So anyway, Barf, someone in the chat room says, well, hey, Scott, that could be a symptom of sunstroke. You should watch and make sure he doesn't die. I'm not in charge, everybody!
So now all of a sudden it's on you.
It can't be on me. I just happened to be out there. And besides, he went back to work and he worked and worked. And I've seen him since. He's fine. He maybe just isn't feeling good or something.
Hey, Sam, Ziggy says there's a 75% chance you're here to make sure that guy doesn't fall off the roof of a heat stroke.
Yeah, not my job, man.
Gushy says that.
Look, I mean, I am all for, like, let's save somebody who needs your help. But you can't just assume that. What am I supposed to do? Go over there and go, excuse me, I noticed you just barfed. Is there a chance you're having sunstroke?
How many fingers am I holding up?
What is it I could do for you from here? Nothing. Get away. Go to
hell. I wouldn't get close. What really is what it all comes down to.
Yeah, I'm not going around there. Not yet. I gotta let the local wildlife take care of it. Then I'll go around there. It's fine. all right. That's that. That's your little update. Why not?
I went on a bike ride.
Oh, how'd that go?
That's what I did.
Did you catch some Pokemon?
I did. I'm getting really, really good at not even pulling over. I'm listening to a podcast. Listen to the entirety of Night Attack on my ride.
Oh, nice.
And so you hear Brian Brushwood, you hear Jury, you hear Bonnie, and every once in a while you hear, you know, the little noise that you're approaching a Pokemon or that a bicyclist next to apparently is hocking up a loogie.
Yeah, yeah. It's a terrible sound. It really sucks.
It is. Well, it's not as bad as the sound that some of those critters make, like the Paras.
Yeah.
Or Paras, or whatever those damn crab things with the mushrooms on their back.
Yeah.
Those make horrendous noises in your earbuds.
They need to They need to rein that in.
Adjust that.
Yeah, I agree. It's real bad, and I also don't like when I leave a Pokeball station.
Yeah.
That has to make that sound as I leave.
Yeah.
Because right. when it does it, I think, oh, that's a poke. No, it's not. I'm just leaving the zone.
That's just the one I was just at. Yeah.
Damn it.
But a bunch of Pidgeys, which right now are just leveling food.
Yeah, they're candy food.
I mean leveling your dude.
Oh, you're throwing him at the, right, I understand.
So here's what you do. You get all the Pidgeys and you don't, you maybe transfer them and get some Pidgey candy, but you still leave yourself about, I don't know, 30 or 40 of them.
Yeah.
And then you drop a lucky egg and then you, which increases your XP, and then you evolve the crap out of all those Pidgeys with all that Pidgey candy.
Really?
Yeah. And you'll get twice the, they only take 12 to level, right? To evolve.
Yeah.
So you'll get twice the XP and your dude, your little Ash Ketchum, whatever.
Yeah.
will level like crazy. Isn't that the dude's name?
I didn't know that. Wait, you know what you should do? You should be on a podcast occasionally that's about this. That's what you should do.
I should totally do that in a couple hours. Yeah. I should totally.
You should record that on a Thursday, I think, is what you should do. All right. Well, that's great. That's a good tip. Hey, everybody, keep your Pidgeys. I keep turning them in. I give them to Dr. Handsome over there.
You should do that with some of them. Do it enough so that you get your Pidgey candy, but at some point, you want to drop a lucky egg and just level. Or evolve, I guess is the thing.
I drop a lucky egg around 4.
I'm going to drop a lucky egg if I have some Taco Bell or Taco Bell.
All right, here's this.
Radio today is different.
Is it?
Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast.
They do?
Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Wow, I've learned something today. It's the news, and it's not brought to you by anyone. It's just a thing. Unless you have anything to pimp? You got the Pokemon show, people could go there.
Pokemon show. Soundography.com is coming this weekend. I'm not going to say this weekend because, again, I got two big freelance things that are due August 1st.
Yeah.
And that's going to take up all my damn time. And plus, we're doing two film sacks, and it's my birthday weekend. We're doing an escape room. I got nothing to pimp.
It's going to be, big. Birthday coming right up, man.
Whew. Yeah. Have you done the escape room thing?
No. Tell me what this is. What are you talking about? What is the escape room?
An escape room is a thing.
Are you talking about like an actual room in the house or something?
No.
Is it? Is it a game?
It's a game, but you go to a place that has these rooms set up, right? And so it's a special room where you're given a scenario.
Right.
The room is laid out to mirror that scenario.
Right.
And you need to use the clues and tools provided to you and nothing else to get out of that scenario.
I've never heard of this in my life.
Oh, really?
That sounds really fun.
It's the new thing. So yeah, one of them is an alien abduction. Another one, I'm dead serious. You're trapped in the back of a van.
Oh, my.
You have to figure out how to get out.
So, you only do this through somebody who provides this as a service? This isn't like a thing you do in your own house, or can
you go to a place that actually has these set up, and you pay for your entry. It's like with a Groupon, we're doing 4 of us for $45, it looks like it's a blast. This will be my first time doing one, so I can't wait to talk about it on Monday. But
there's a place in Salt Lake City called mysteryescaperoom.com. Featured room entwined the mysterious disappearance of Mark Twain.
Oh, wow. That sounds educational.
Mystery Escape. They do a bunch of corporate deals. Dr. Frankenstein's Haunted Escape. The Curse of Pharaoh's Tomb. Entwined Biobase 5. That sounds like fun. Mystery Impossible and Port Royal, a pirate mystery.
Wow.
Yeah, or Da Vinci's Secret, which
That sounds so much more wholesome. So the ones at this place.
Yeah.
Here's the description of the abduction.
Mm-hmm.
You were road tripping with friends when you saw strange lights in the sky. You stopped to get a good view of the changing colors and shapes when suddenly you were approached by strange men in a van. The last thing you remember is seeing a bright light. You awake and are now locked in the back of a van that has crashed. The driver is unconscious and the passenger fled screaming, "They're coming back! You must now escape before they return."
Wow. Really?
Yeah. There's another one. You've been trapped by the psycho killer. This particular psycho, I like that. Just that those three words. This particular psycho is a fiend for puzzles. He has meticulously set up a game of logic that challenges your mental stamina, your ability to work with others. Now you must solve riddles, find clues, and outsmart the psycho killer before time runs out. Appearance of psycho killer available upon request.
Wow.
I barely can pay extra to have the psycho killer show up.
Okay, so I did some more hunting while you talked about that neat one.
Yeah.
And here's what I found. Oh, in Orem, they have something called Escapes in Time. Here are their rooms. Baker Street Mystery.
Oh, see?
Leonardo's Loot. OK Corral Jailbreak. F you guys. Hold on. We're going to find a better one in Salt Lake. This is terrible. Okay, The Escape Key. Utah's premier real-life room escape adventure.
There you go.
Do you have what it takes? Book now. Best bang for your buck. Oh, here we go. Now we're getting good. The Lair of Lunacy. Prepare yourself for the adventure unlike any other. You'll find yourself in a secret lab or something diabolical is taking place. Spooks and surprises await you. I don't like the way that sounds. Includes fake blood, fake body parts, contains sudden surprises. Participants must be 12 years or older. All right. Then you got CSI SLC. Trapped in a room where a homicide has been committed. So it's like a mystery thing. And then something called The Impossible, which is more like a... Boy, there are more of this than I would have known. This is all news to me.
It's a new popular thing. They did one on Big Bang Theory, which obviously explains why you haven't seen it, but...
I've never heard of this. Ow.
Yeah, and it makes you throw a plate.
I dropped a fork. Ow. That freaking hurt. All right, well, whatever.
Anyway, I'll let you know how it is on
Monday. Okay, let me know. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah.
We got a first story in the news today. A woman claims that a sexual style assault happened by a restaurant's pee-pee doll. Isabel Lassiter, who always pays her debts.
Just leaves a decent tip.
Yeah, she leaves an okay tip. Has a beef with Japanese steakhouse in Tennessee. A beef. Where a chef sprayed her in the face with a pee-pee doll in what her husband called a sexual style assault. Lassiter says her and her family were dining at the Wasabi Japanese Steakhouse in Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro, yeah.
Have you been there before? It sounds like a thing you've been to.
Sounds familiar. I've seen the name. I've seen Murfreesboro before.
A newspaper place where you...
Right, exactly.
Did a thing.
The Herald. The Murfreesboro Herald or something like that.
Good old Murfreesboro Herald. He's the best. So I guess what happened here... is they were dining at this place when a chef produced a... I hate the term produced because it sounds like pulled it out
from under his tray, the tray that they wheel out there. I know exactly what this...
But produced makes it sound like he made it.
Well...
Like conjured it, you know what I mean? Like pooped it out.
No, clearly that's made in a sweatshop in a whole different part of the country.
That's a good point. said her family were there, blah, blah, blah. Plastic doll resembling a little boy pulled down its pants, and then a thin stream of water spurted from a hole location in the doll's genital area and hit Lassiter in the face, she said. She was not very happy. Quote, he pulled his little shorts down, and it had a wanger, and he squirted me right in the face.
Way to waste your 15 minutes of fame.
A wanger, dude.
A wanger.
That's really great.
You know, I used to listen to Kip Wanger back in the 80s.
Well, there was nobody like him at the time. Restaurant manager Johnny Huang said the doll is a common part of the show the patrons get at dinner. Chefs use it to control flames on the hibachi. The kids like it. They think it's a water gun, he told the TV station WREG. Now, look, I don't think it's all that big a deal. It's really pretty harmless, kind of silly. Right. Who cares? But don't try to convince me kids think that's a water gun. There's water coming out of the crotch of the doll. They're not that stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
They have, so we've got the hibachi place here close to us, and of course they do that all the time too. They also have a little squeeze bottle full of sake that they put on the rice and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you get the right chef, you can tip your head back into the side and he'll just squirt sake into your mouth until it's dribbling down your cheek.
Is it a little doll penis though?
No. It's like a, it's like one of those transparent bottles that looks like a diner's ketchup and mustard bottle. You know, those red and yellow bottles that have ketchup and mustard. There's a transparent one.
Oh, okay. And it's got sake in it?
And it's got sake in it. It's just, and he'll dump the whole bottle in your face if you can keep from spilling it out of your mouth.
Wow. All right. Well, now there's been trouble. This guy, Lassiter's husband, James, called the spraying a sexual style assault on my wife.
Oh, no.
According to NBC4, and the couple called the police and filed a report. So there you go. Sad news if you're a Sesame Street fan. Are you a Sesame Street fan?
I was. Well, started the same year that you and I were born.
You might have a bad feeling about this. They're letting three familiar faces go. Sesame Street is an educational TV program, really, we know, of the last 45 years. Now that the show has moved from PBS to HBO, hold on a second. Is that a permanent? I thought that was just a deal.
No, it's changed. So HBO airs it first, and then it's aired by PBS.
Okay, but wow, I think I should be upset about that for some reason. Why should I be mad about that? I shouldn't be, I guess. I mean, how many kids have HBO? A lot of kids? The thing about public radio or public TV was that you all had PBS.
Right.
And then that meant every kid had the possibility of finding out how to count pies or noon and noon and noon or phone. Nope, 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 nope. Right. You could learn all that stuff. And you could learn it. And it didn't matter if you had cable or premium cable or any of these things. You could just get it. I didn't know it like changed hands.
You still get it, but it's like it's like you get it. You pay a premium. And you get that hot, new, fresh Sesame Street content.
Is that what it is?
Timely. You know, they're talking about the DNC this week and in a couple of weeks when it's on PBS.
Yeah.
You know, Oscar's saying, hey, did you see him?
Yeah, $50.
Did you see Obama speak at... apparently, that's my friend Flintstone, apparently. Can't do... I guess Oscar is more nasal.
Yeah.
Oscar. Hey, Big Bird. Still chasing that. And now it's evolving into Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
I need to workshop my Oscar offline. Yeah. I'm going to workshop my Oscar and I'll come back with that.
Yeah, you need to do a retreat somewhere and just practice.
But no, so bottom line is that the HBO gets it first and then you wait a couple weeks and then it's on PBS.
Well, long time cast members, original cast members, mm-hmm. Bob McGrath, Emilio Delgado, and Roscoe Orman have been dismissed.
That's crazy. I mean, Bob is like, you know, I mean, friggin' Bob.
Yeah, he's Bob, dude.
He's Bob. He was like 44-year-old fresh-faced dude walking around Sesame Street.
Not creepy at all.
Not creepy at all. No. Looking like, crap. Can't remember the guy's name.
I don't know.
It was on military show. I'm losing it. I'm totally losing it.
Guy on the military show. Military
Gomer
show.
Gomer Pyle.
Oh, yeah, he did look like
always looked like Gomer Pyle.
Yeah. But he seemed a little bit more highfalutin.
Well, he wasn't, you know, golly, Oscar.
Yeah. Although now that you're saying it.
Yeah, totally Pumba'd that. Yes, Jackalope. All right, I deserve a Pumba for that.
One Pumba for you today.
One Pumba.
Bob McGrath, 84, plays Bob. Emilio Delgado, who plays Luis, he's 76. And Roscoe Orman, who's 72, plays Gordon.
Oh, Gordon. Yeah, Gordon. Bald guy.
Would you have guessed that Gordon was the youngest? That surprises me.
I thought no, Bob I was the youngest. Actually.
I would have said what? Bob was youngest. I would have said Gordon was oldest. I would have said Luis was the youngest.
Right.
I would have been wrong on all three counts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They were no longer regularly.
Bald Gordon.
I know, isn't that weird? He's been there forever. Mm-hmm. No longer regular appearances on this show at all, according to a statement released by Sesame Street. The Street, I guess. Paula Krieger, president and CEO of PBS, said at a Television Critics Association panel on Thursday morning that it was not PBS who pulled the plug. As you know, Sesame Street is produced by Sesame Workshop, which is an independent production company, and the casting decision was made by them. We did not know about it beforehand. We found out about it after. People are pissed.
Yeah.
Those guys have been there for 45 years, dude. 45 years.
I know. That's crazy. It just seems...
it's hardcore.
Yeah. And it doesn't... Was there some scandal they were involved with? Or were kids complaining? I think we've learned everything we can learn from those old people on the street.
I can't hear Bob sing one more time or I'll commit suicide.
If he tells me to sing of happy and not sad one more time.
Oscar has a boner. I want out of this thing. They just are whatever. They're gone now. So I guess I'm a little sad. I'm a little sad about it. That means that they would have been, if he's 84, Bob started on that show like at our age.
Yeah.
Weird.
Even a little younger, yeah.
Yeah, I guess a little younger. Republicans are very upset. Yeah. Speaking of which, people are upset. Republicans are very upset that American sniper star Bradley Cooper showed up at the DNC in support.
I thought he was exactly like the person he played in that movie.
I thought these were real people. I figure if you're going to play the sniper, which I know is based on a real guy, you know, some people think that means, well, you should have, this should show whatever. But I don't know why they think that that's, like, maybe that sniper guy, maybe he would want to be a Democrat.
Sure,
I don't know.
Sure. Well, except he died.
I get. Oh yeah, he did die. I haven't seen the movie. Sure. Is that in the movie?
Oh, spoiler!
I don't know what happens. I haven't seen it.
No, it takes place after the movie, so it's not a spoiler. The stuff that happens in the movie, is separate from that. But you get like the epilogue kind of thing at the end of the the beginning of the credits that say that he was shot by a guy that he was teaching how to shoot guns at a range and.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very sad situation there.
Well, I need to see that movie finally.
You totally do.
It's
so good.
I heard it was great. Yeah, I heard it was great.
It should be nominated for an Oscar. It's so good.
I think it was, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. So they were. People are all upset because they seem to be getting all these A-listers, like Meryl Streep. And I don't know why they have America Ferrera here. Because
their name's America.
I guess so. Alicia Keys. These are all people you'd expect. But nobody expected... to see him out there, and all they could get was Scott Baio.
Antonio Sabato
Jr. Exactly.
Couldn't even get Antonio Sabato Sr. They had to settle for the...
and one of the Duck Dynasty guys. That's the three. That was your triumvirate. So they're a little bummed out about it, but mainly they're just mad that, well, hey, if you played that character and he was such a whatever. I mean, they've conflated everything into being whatever idea they think they have. Just knock that off on both sides. I don't care. If someone's mad that Scott Baio showed up at the DNC or the RNC, just knock that off too, because who freaking cares? They're just actors, and they get to have their own lives, their own opinions, the parts they play. You think he is blah, 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 or Chachi? No. He's not Charles, and he's not in charge of anything.
And he's an actor, so what makes his opinion any more valid than your own?
None of it.
There you go.
None of it does.
I honestly cannot believe, I find it completely impossible to believe that there were any RNC attendees who said, I can't believe that Meryl Streep didn't show up.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of them were surprised by it.
Right, and that was just the representative from Alabama.
Yeah,
okay.
No, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Not,
very
I'm not generalizing anything.
Exactly. But, exactly. Yeah, but just people need to knock that off. Who cares? Yeah, I mean, sure, it's good for PR, and there are people that put real stock in that stuff, but don't conflate the characters and the actors together. That's a bad move. That's like me saying, you know, Brian, I saw 12 Monkeys back in 1995. Love that movie. But man, when I saw Brad Pitt, he didn't just constantly flip me off behind my back.
Right. He didn't keep telling me to know my doses. What they give you, Haldol, what they give you.
Yeah, I feel like I've been robbed here by Hollywood. I don't understand. Finally, Lindsay Lohan.
The Lohan.
You say Lohan, I say Lohan.
Lohan. Yeah.
She got spotted smoking amid her pregnancy claims and a relationship drama with Igor Trabzov. Lindsay Lohan is currently taking time for herself after recently exposing relationship troubles on her...
I'm going to stop dating Lindsay Lohan. Too much hassle.
Too much hassle. She claims she is pregnant. Too much hassle. but still, all time, one of my favorite things you've ever brought up on the show is the too much hassle Russian guy. Let's see. Since the deleted... Oh, she deleted her social media rant. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
The actress made multiple claims, including that her fiancé's infidelity was at an all-time high and that she is pregnant by him. Lohan followed up with an apology on Tuesday, assuring her Instagram followers, I'm good and well. ATM, she put as a hashtag.
Yeah.
Nobody needs that.
ATM is currently trending.
Great. My ATM won't give me my money.
Yeah, are you and I using Twitter wrong?
I guess so.
ATM is a hashtag?
Yeah, at the moment, the shortening for at the moment does not need hashtaggery, okay?
Right.
Anyway, she says, I'm taking some time for myself with good friends. I'm sorry that I've exposed certain private matters recently. I was acting out of fear and sadness. We all make mistakes. Sadly, mine have always been so public. 30-year-old retreated to a private yacht this weekend in Italy where she was smoking. So I hope you're not really pregnant and you made that part up because that's bad. You shouldn't smoke.
Right.
Especially at this stage or any stage of your pregnancy. So don't do that.
Yeah. Plus, it'll make you look even older.
Yeah.
Than you kind of already are.
Yeah. Feeling. You don't want to look like an old leather boot. Do you? All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Dan the Tabletop Man with his recommendations for Gen Con this year, a annual tradition here on TMS.
Nice.
Something we always look forward to. And your Twitter questions. Before that, though, Brian Brung Music.
Yeah, and as much as I have problems with pronunciations of some of these bands, this one seems like it's just going to be next to impossible. I believe it's Nuxes or Nuxes.
That's what Nuxes. I would have said.
N-U-U-X-S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nuxes.
But guess what? That's actually her name. She's a French-born singer-songwriter who grew up in Hackney. You're going to feel, maybe not so much this song, but when you listen to some of her other songs on her upcoming EP called Golden Egg.
All right.
With a U, Golden Egg.
Oh, Golden Egg. Yeah.
Golden Egg, mm-hmm. which comes out September 16th. Make sure you check it out. You're going to feel like you're listening to the end credits of a Tarantino movie.
Whoa.
Really cool, atmospheric, Dick Dale surf guitar kind of stuff. Mm. This is good though. And her, this, if nothing else, this totally showcases her vocals. The song is Love Me Slower. It is from her brand new album, Golden Egg. And again, one more time, it comes out September 16th. Make sure you pick it up. Here is Nuxes
with Love Me Slower.
Won't have no past to hide from. When the sun hits the shadow line and you carry me away, see your face changing time. I can read you line by line. I wanna hold you, and you ask me. I could go on feeling like I should.
Cool. I like mm-hmm. that a lot. Yeah, that was super Tarantino end of the movie credit roll deal.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And her and her other stuff is even more so. And you should check out her music videos. She there wasn't one for this one, or else I would have given it to you to superimpose in our own video. But just do a search on YouTube for N-U-U-X-S. Guess what? You're not going to find much else other than her music, which is great.
I like that about some names that are hard to say. Mm-hmm. It's like Chverches or whatever. I love their name because you're never going to not get them.
Chverches, yes.
Yeah. If it's just churches, you're screwed.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, you don't want to YouTube video churches. You'll
No, you'll get some Westboro Baptist Church bullshit. Nobody needs that in their life. How about this right here? Traditional song and all. Makes you want to play Uncharted, because that's Uncharted music. It's Dan, the tabletop man. It's Dan Patrice, everybody, all the way from not Long Island, because that's where he was born, but now he's in North Carolina. What's going on?
Greetings, program.
What's going on, man?
How's it going, guys?
Nice to see you.
Good, how are you?
You have the faint impression of a mustache right now, and I really like
it. Oh, it's because, you know what, this I shaved about an hour ago, so this is actually Italian, so.
That's actually pudding. He was he was just eating some chocolate pudding.
Oh, all right. This all makes sense.
Have you lost weight? You look good, man.
He's been riding his bike like a freak.
Yeah, I've been hitting the bike.
Have you weighed, dude? Have you checked to see your difference?
It's more losing inches around the waistline than losing pounds. I've lost a few pounds, but the way pants are fitting and stuff is like, all right, this is rocking. I'm liking this.
Sweet. Get some new belts. So, I like it.
Yep. It just lets you drink more beer now.
Put some new holes in that.
That's the problem. That's the problem is for a while you think, well, great, I can compensate because I've been working out. I can go eat that 32 bucket of wings or whatever.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, that's what happens in a pharmacy. People are like, oh, well, you know, I just started my Lipitor, so I can have 15 eggs tonight and and a couple extra burgers, right?
Yeah.
No.
Wait, is
that's
that
not how any of this works.
Lipitor's for, what's it for?
Cholesterol.
Oh, cholesterol, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was on that. I have to be careful of that. I have some genetic tendencies. Like right now I'm good, but I gotta, you know, I guess I gotta be careful. But then half the time, Dan, the guys will go, hey, that's a bad cholesterol. You don't want any of that. Oh, sorry. We changed our mind here 2 months later. That's the good cholesterol.
Eggs are the perfect example of, because like 10 years ago, they thought the whole world was going to die because of eggs. Now they're like, right. Oh, just eat them on up.
Yeah. Right. Suck them in. Snort them. Put them right in your veins.
And what's funny about genetic stuff is a lot of things are genetics from our parents that you're more likely to have them your parents. Almost everything is. But there are certain types of things that you're more likely to have them if your siblings have them rather than if your parents have them, which is kind of really weird. Oh, it's very rare things, but sometimes that does happen.
That blows because I only have two blood siblings. The Koreans all have their own problems, but we're not, you know, blood related. So me and my sister and my half-brother, he's got weird skin cancer, and Wendy's just smart. So what am I gonna get? Weird, smart skin cancer?
You have enough.
All right, I'm good.
You have enough already.
I have enough problems. Yeah, they're the ones that need to
worry.
You're
gonna get eye poop or something like that when the VR. You know,
they're the ones that need to worry, not me, is what you're saying. They need to be worried. Okay, that makes sense.
I had something funny because it's funny that you guys were talking about escape rooms because a couple of weeks when I was gonna come on, I was gonna actually talk about. This game is called Escape the Room.
Mm.
This is actually completely separate. I just had it laying by my computer.
So it's an actual board game, though.
Well, this is actually what's pretty cool is a company called Think Fun is putting these out at Target and things for like $20, where they're an escape room in a box where you can just do it like on a Friday, Saturday night, get a couple couples together, have dinner, and then do one of these. Remember in the 90s, there was all these like murder mystery parties?
Yeah.
And like that was the big thing. Like this company is kind of one of them companies that does things like this where they'll have an escape room in a box where you just kind of open it up and then go because they have like spoilers and stuff. So you don't want to like get into it too soon. This is actually a lot of fun. It's not too hard, not too easy. I mean, if you get two couples together, even if they're not gamers, they could get through this. And it says about 90 minutes. With three gamers got together, we did it in about an hour. But you know, there was one or two puzzles that were actually challenging. The rest of it weren't too bad, but ton of fun.
Is it? I mean, okay. But at the end of the day, are these just those murder mysteries with a new coat of paint? Is that all we're doing with these?
No. These are legitimate. Well, it depends on what you mean. Because like murder mysteries, one person would be like the killer, and you're all acting. This isn't really acting. This is you're reading like a little story, and then it'll be like an envelope, and it'll be like, all right, so you're looking at this. Now you got to figure out what's next, and it'll be like a little codex. Remember the old Commodore 64 games where you had to like it would be like their little copy protection where they would give you a code, you had to turn the ring, and then you would have to put a code in.
Yeah,
right.
Or with the game,
the instruction manual had things in the bottom right corner, and you had to do the code that was on that page.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this thing would have like in each one of the rooms that you go to, when you solve the puzzle, there'll be little graphics, little symbols, and when you match the symbol up with the room that you're in, it'll either tell you you're right with the little dots on it, or it'll say you're wrong. So once you get it right, then it'll tell you exactly where to go next, like which envelope to open. But what's pretty cool about this, so this is like one of those things that you can pretty much only do once and then you're done. But on their website, they give you instructions on how to put this exactly back together so that you could just give it to somebody or play it or run, you know, you yourself can run somebody else through it. So I thought that was
Dungeon Master.
Exactly. And it's only, you know, it's like $20 at Target or something like that. So this is a really cool. This one was Mystery at Stargazer's Manor, Escape the Room. So look for those at Target. And those are actually unique, especially if you're not the type of people that can, you know, get babysitters and necessarily go out to an escape room for an hour or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Those are usually like whatever, $20 a head or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm really curious about Brian's experience. He's gonna hopefully tell us all about it after he gets back. All right, it is Gen Con time of year. That means Dan is going there.
Oh yeah,
he goes every time. There's always a big deal around it. And the tradition on the show is you come and talk about like the top 10 things people should look to buy while at Gen Con or otherwise.
Top 11 because everything's better.
Oh, that's right, 11. We always crank it up to 11. So I'm going to let you have the stage. Give us what you got.
So I'm going to try to get this through in less than 10 minutes, all right? So now this is a tradition as old as, we'll say, like a three-year-old fawn is the tradition we've got here. So we're going to go with the top 11.
Start the timer, yeah.
All right, ready? All right, so number 11, Quartz. This is a $30 game at Passport Game Studios. It's kind of a press your luck. You're pulling chit out of bags. You've got these little gems out of bags. We always love pulling chit out of bags.
Yep.
You're kind of got some card play in there. A lot of fun. I got to demo this at Origins. This is a must pick up. $30 there. Number 10 is Potion Explosion. This is from Cool Mini or Not. It's only about $50. This gets your match three. That's got this toy factor where it's got marbles in like these different rows. So when you're pulling marbles out to fulfill a little potion, the marbles move down and then you can have explosion, kind of like a match three. I mean, obviously you got to pull it out yourself, but really cool. Potion Explosion, Cool Mini or Not. Number 9, New Bedford from Dice Hate Me Games, $40. This is a worker placement set in the old city of New Bedford. I believe it's Massachusetts. It was the heart of the whaling industry way back when. This game is really cool because it shows you about managing the town. You can play the game without even worry about whaling, but it also teaches a little thing that if you whale too much, then the seas are completely depleted. So it kind of teaches a little lesson, but at its core, it's just a fun little worker placement game. Number 8, Codenames Pictures, $20. Well, it's Codenames, so I mean, what else can you say? Codenames Pictures.
But it's photos now, or
yeah, it's got some little pictures, but there's different icons on it.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, gonna be a really cool game.
Okay.
I got that pre-ordered already to pick up. Number 7, Simurgh, $65, Passport Game Studios. Again, this is kind of like Lords of Waterdeep, where you're, say, another worker placement, but you're kind of building the board as you're going. Really cool theme. I got a small demo of this at Origins. This is a must pick up if you like that Lords of Waterdeep type game, which was a huge, you know, great game from back in the day.
What's the name of it again? The new one? What's this one?
It's called Simurgh. It's S-I-M-U-R-G-H. I don't know if that's some sort of, you know, I don't know, European for, you know, German for fun Waterdeep style game. I don't know. Number 6 is Islebound by Red Raven Games. Ryan Lockett, his art is absolutely fantastic. Really cool. This is only going to be up at $50. You're a ship captain. When you're out on the nice seas with this great art, it's kind of a pick up and deliver. You can be a trader, a builder. You can be kind of pirate. You can hire pirates. You can even hire sea serpents to work for you. They're really, really cool. This guy has got he's one of the best artists. Scott, you probably really dig this because the art is very unique. And he does really, he does all the art for all of his games himself.
Nice.
That is Islebound, number 6. Number 5, for all you Star Trek lovers and junkies out there, Star Trek Ascendancy. We always talk about Gale Force 9, how they do really good IP games. This is going to be $100. It's got some 3D elements, got some minis to it. You've got all the races. You can trade. You can explore. You're going to be fighting. Man, this is kind of a 4X game. It's going to be one of these big hunking games, but my God, it's going to be awesome.
Cool.
Gale Force 9 is really good.
Right.
And you know, it's kind of the different lanes that you can go on to deep space and things like that. Number 4, Seafall. Oh my Lord, if anybody liked Pandemic Legacy, this is Rob Davio's game. This is kind of like his follow-up. I think he might have even been working on this longer than he was working on Pandemic Legacy. This is by Plaid Hat Games, $80. It's a 4X game again, Age of Sail, but each game, just like the other Legacy systems, it's going to change with you. So it's going to remember things you did. So if Ibbot goes attacking Scott, Scott's going to remember, and so is the game. Later, he's going to have some bounties on Ibbot's head, and then I'm going to go collect those bounties because, well, you know, everybody loves shooting Ibbot.
Will it have burnable stuff in it the way that Pandemic Legacy does?
Yeah, like, I think you're going to have things you're going to rip up. Maybe if you sink somebody's ship, you got to rip it up.
Weird.
Yeah, I know that really. I'm getting itchy just thinking about doing that to a game because, you know, none of us like to do those things to our game.
Yeah.
Number 3, that was $80. Number 3, another expensive game, Terraforming Mars by Stronghold Games. This is a $70 big-ass euro. It's about being going up to Mars and just colonizing it, there's going to be some elements of it that are going to have to be cooperative because you're going to have to work together to do different things on there. But it's really about, you know, terraforming your side and really building up your little empire. Well, empires.
You know, occasionally I refer to Terpster as a big ass Euro. Just wanted to point that out. Anyway, continue.
Well, as opposed to Patrick, we call him the little ass Euro.
Hairy ass Euro. Yeah.
The number two is Cry Havoc. This is from Portal Games, $75, and made by Grant Rodiak. This is kind of his coming out party. This game, they're calling this the Rebellion Killer, because Star Wars Rebellion came out, and it was a big minis and things like that. Cry Havoc, oh man, this is an asynchronous game where everybody's got their own part to play. So you've got like, it also reminds me of Avatar, where you've got the indigenous people that they just don't want you messing with their big-ass tree, you know, and other people want to get the gems and mine the gems. There's the mechs that just want to see everybody die. So it's, you've got four or five different factions. Little things are going on all the time. Their fight system is unique, where there's three different battle kind of fields that you're putting your minis on, and you may be able to win the war, but you may lose some of the other smaller battles, so you may not get the resources that you're going for, and you may lose a unit in the process where Scott may take it prisoner, but Ibbot will control the land once it's done. So really, really cool.
Brief question about that. If that thing, yeah. So $75, if I get that, is the game going to be dinged at all because there's not a big tie-in with a game like Star Wars the way Star Wars is? Do you think that's a problem?
Well, you know what, it's kind of this unique world. Now Portal's got a few different worlds that they go with, like Nereshima Hex universe. They're really good at developing their universe, and I have this hunch that Ignacy's gonna put, that's the who owns Portal, I have a feeling that he's gonna put other games in this universe. So they're kind of building this little narrative. So some companies really like to have their own world, or they bring games into their worlds to expand them a bit.
I like that.
So that's pretty cool. And number one, I'm so stinking excited for this. Legendary Encounters. This is kind of the deck building game by Upper Deck Entertainment. Now, in the past, they've done things like Predator and Aliens, things like that. But this is Firefly. Legendary Encounters, Firefly, the deck building game. Now, the information's scarce, so I'm pretty sure they're going to have this here because the release date is right around there. I think it's going to be about $50. But man, playing a deck building game in the Firefly universe using those different characters in there. And if that doesn't get you excited, 1A might get you excited, because Legendary Encounters, Big Trouble in Little China is also going to be at Gen Con. So they're
taking this. I mean, the Legendary Encounters part is kind of like saying, it's like Warhammer, or no, it's like saying Total War Warhammer Edition, or Total War Attack on the Gourds, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's,
yeah,
like they're,
you can say that.
It's the main, they're using systems from a game,
they're
and
using
then
their own
skinning
system
it
and putting IPs on
right
them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, so like in the Aliens one, you can play scenarios from every one of the Aliens movies.
Oh.
So you can play through each one, and there's a specific deck that you put together, or there's rules for just kind of randomizing those things
is
up.
Is there a card that'll let me suck the half man, half alien thing through a tiny little hole in the ship?
I think that is part of the part of that last one. There's that little card in there. You can get a face hugger, and you gotta kill it or else you become an alien in the game. Oh, that's actually a really, really, really cool game.
Yeah.
Things like in Firefly, each time you play it, it's going to be episodes that you're playing. So there's going to be rules for each one. There'll be like a big boss, and you're playing one of the characters, and then you're going to have your crew. So you're going to play like a little deck building game with that. Man,
how much is this one? How much is this thing going to cost?
This actually is only going to be $50, because Upper Deck's really good about their cards. They've got great art, but I think they just make so many of them that it's not all that pricey compared to what you get in a box. You'll probably get about 300 to 400 cards in those boxes.
Nice. Man.
And this is the same guy that did make the Predator one, again, and also the guy that made the Alien deck building game. He also made the Penny Arcade deck building game, Gamers vs. Evil. So this guy knows his deck building stuff. So hopefully this Firefly one is going to be a huge hit. Because, even if it's not,
fun.
I'll love it.
Yeah, it sounds great. Will there be, Brian wants to know if there'll be a companion card he can kind of keep in his back pocket all the time? Or
you know, you never know. You hold on to that card. You do it behind closed doors. It's all
yeah,
up to
it's
you.
It's all up to you, dude. I just don't want that card when you're done with it. That's all.
The also, they've got a promo for the Big Trouble in Little China one. There was a thing on Facebook where one of the bigwigs at Upper Deck, he was showing, who's the Asian guy? That's the, I'm not sure if he's the big bad guy or if he was good guy. But anyway, one of the big guys, he signed all the I think he's the big bad guy.
He signed
a bunch of the promo cards.
Is he the guy with the Fu Manchu mustache that was in the film set?
It goes really long.
Yeah, that's the guy.
One.
That's the guy.
Yeah,
he signed it all?
They've got his. I'm going to try and pull it up.
That's
real fast.
So badass if it's him. I can't think of his
kidding.
Name.
No kidding. We're always talking about that guy when he.
Yeah, he's in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Constantly showing up. Hey, we need an Asian guy.
His name
guy
is Gerald Okamura.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Let's look him up. Gerald Okamura. No, here he is. Okamura. And that is not him, but that's a cool guy, too.
He played six shooter, I think.
Okay. No, he's cool, too. Oh, there he is with his gun, Joe. No, that guy's awesome. Okay,
I'd say it's pretty cool that he would sign some promos that'll be available at, I guess, at the booth, maybe with some purchases. I'll have to check
that. No, Al Leong is the guy that we're always...
always going on about, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'll take whatever, man. In fact, I would take a signed... I'd take an Al Leong signed Gerald Okamura. You could sign that guy. I would take that guy.
He could sign a companion for you, and you'd keep it happy.
Now, here's... before we let you go, dude, I got a recommendation for you that I just found that I just need to throw out there. I was on the toilet when I got this message from a Twitter follower who says, have you guys seen this game? And I opened up this video and went, oh my gosh, I must have this. It's combination... It's digital, but it's combination board game, kind of move your piece around the board, and deck builder. And just a little bit of, I would say there's just like a taste of Hearthstone in there, but it's very different than Hearthstone. It's not like a CCG in that way at all. But you basically start out with these archetypes that are like, you know, wizard or whatever. And they have lots of like really inside jokes. Like one of the cards is basically a caricature of... who's the owner of Valve? Gabe Newell. And the card is something about never announcing something. You're supposed to announce Half-Life 3, but never does, kind of thing. So there's always like little inside gamer jokes all throughout this thing. But the core gameplay is a blast. You move around this thing, you roll dice. It's called, I should say the name, it's called Dicetiny. Like Destiny, but Dicetiny.
Okay.
Battle for the one, or how do they put it? They called it Lord of the Dice. Anyway, it's all big riffs on like common, you know, Lord of the Rings tropes and stuff like that. The art style is very cool, and it's only single player, so it's not like a thing you're going to play with a bunch of other people, but it absolutely rings my bell. It's totally my kind of game.
Check it out.
So you have to check it out. It's like $15 on Steam. I assume it's coming to tablets. It'll almost have to. Mm. It's just too good not to. And I've only had a few minutes with it, but I really like to recommend it. I think it's
there was
rad.
A new one that just came out called Guild of Dungeoneering. I thought that was what you were talking about. It's on the iOS that looks really kind of similar and has this really black and white.
Right. I saw that one too.
Yeah. Oh, I've been playing that. Yeah. No, that one's good too. I've been playing it on my phone and everything's real small on it. So I'm going to try it on my iPad, see if I can have a little bit better time with it. They opted to go with the world's smallest possible fonts. So,
and us old bastards with our eyes can't see that.
Yeah, all right. You know, my eyes aren't getting any younger. I can tell you that. So, anyway, well, so there's a little recommendation out there for people. Dicetiny. And there's videos on YouTube. They have a website, dicetinygame.com or something. And I didn't even know it came out. It came out early access last month. It launched officially now, and it's super cool. And if you like that kind of stuff, it's scratching a very specific itch I have for this kind of stuff. It's kind of like turn-based, and all the cards do crazy stuff, and all the boards are different layouts. There's a whole campaign, just weird characters. The humor's so bad, it's good. Like, it's just kind of a goofball, awesome, rad piece of something. So people should check it out. Dan, always a pleasure. You have the safest possible trip and stay in Indiana.
We'll be there for about a week. Check us out. We'll be at the Dice Tower booth Friday at 2 o'clock next week. We'll be at the Tilt-A-Kilt for a little meetup 9 p.m. on Wednesday. If you want to come say hey, and check out the Geek All Stars. We just released today our basic 3-hour mega top 11 to try and top 11 to buy with myself, Chris Kirkman, and the guy that does the news, W. Eric Martin from Board Game Geek. We cover probably about 80 games.
Whoa,
so if you're lacking some games to look up on BGG, check that out, and it'll give you something to do while you're either on a flight to Gen Con or on the road. But I appreciate it, boys.
If you're there and you see Governor Mike Pence, the nomination for Vice President of these United States with Donald Trump, here's what the protest chant needs to be. You ready? So when you see him, I want Dan Patrice to turn to him directly to Mike Pence and say, "Mike Pence makes no sense. Mike Pence makes no sense."
I'm actually figure I'd go heckle Kurtz a little bit.
Oh yeah, do that too. No, that's a guarantee win, no matter what you do. Dan Patrice, everybody, safe travels. We'll see you later.
Appreciate it, boys. See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
Okay. How do I hang up on people?
I don't know.
Oh, there you go. He did it for me. All right. Brian.
Yes, yes.
I think we should do time. Oh, it's almost time. You know what? We're going to do a couple of these Twitter questions. These are for our TMS, Ask TMS hashtag that we use every week. And some people forget that and ask questions without the hashtag. Don't do that, people. I can't find you that way. You got to do it the other way. You got to say Ask TMS in the hashtag to make it work.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The newest tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
Yes, indeed I do. Let's do this. We're going to start with a tweet from a question from someone who says, hold on, just waiting for it to load. All right, here we go. Sean Cox says, what would you rather do for a job, yodeling or Morris dancing? What's Morris dancing?
Morris dancing?
Isn't it Morris Day in the...
Is it M-O-R-R-I-S?
Yeah. Is that something to do with Morris Day?
No, it's a kind of English folk dance, usually accompanied by music. So it's like, it kind of looks like Lord of the Dance kind of stuff, but maybe not as extreme.
Hmm. All right.
What was the first choice?
It was yodeling.
Yodeling or Morris dance. I think yodeling, because then I could finally release my cover of Hocus Pocus by Focus.
At last.
You know that song.
Yeah, at last, yeah. Brian could finally let that come out. Stumpwater Jack says, when it comes to citrus, what do you prefer? Lemons versus limes, red versus yellow grapefruit? Limes and red grapefruit.
Red grapefruit all the way. Ruby red grapefruit that I can put in the fridge, let it chill, and then peel and cut open the segments and dump it into a bowl and eat like that. I love ruby red grapefruit like that.
Just listening to you is making it so I don't have scurvy. This is amazing.
You limey.
Bruins 0136 asks, when's the last time you smoked pot? Well, you'd have to ask me when the first time was, in which I don't have a first time. Sorry.
Right.
I've never
smoked pot. Last time was the first time. So
never.
No time.
Never. Yeah. I've never smoked pot. So I don't know. I mean, I've had some sweet second hand though. Like I was at
I can roll open a window facing west and get some sweet contact high.
Can't open window. Too much hassle.
Too much hassle.
For me, it's the last time I remember smelling smoke was a concert of some sort, and I don't even remember who I saw. But yeah, I don't.
Oh yeah, somebody brought out some skunk weed at Killer Queen the other night.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't smoke in public, but it's one step closer to being okay here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're getting there.
Yeah.
I'm a law-abiding citizen. People have said, would you eat one of them brownies if a game became legal in your state? Yeah, I would. I'd try a brownie. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's get a brownie. Let's get a, what do you call it? Some gummy bears and all that.
Oh, sure. Donuts. Oh, they don't do the gummy bears anymore. My neighbor actually texted me today. They're eliminating the gummy bears and the sweet and sour candies because those just look too much like kids' candies. Although there's still going to be other kinds of candy and pop that are THC laced.
And that makes sense. But those two are they're kids' candies. I mean, they're little bears. And the little sour patchy looking bear things. Come on.
Right.
What were we all thinking? Right. All right. How about this question? Let's see. Let me skip down here a little bit. How about this one? What was your favorite trailer to come out of Comic-Con? Jonathan Mooney is asking the question.
I think Wonder Woman.
I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
That one has me the most
really
excited.
Good.
Yeah. Looks excellent. I wish it was sooner than when it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
That looked real good.
But Skull Island, I always get excited for King Kong films, and I'm kind of excited for that one.
I do too. I think that trailer looks great. I really like Brie Larson, and I really like what's his name. Loki's in there. I like him.
Right, Hiddleston. No, I'm sorry, Doctor Strange.
Oh, I didn't see it yet. It's the one I didn't look at.
Yeah, it gives you so much more than before, and so much of that cool Inception style city molding wrapping.
Oh,
you mean
the great Marvel villain Doctor Strange?
The great super villain.
Right, the supervillain in the Marvel side, Doctor Strange.
Right,
Yeah, we've heard that somewhere.
Can't wait to talk about that on Saturday.
If you had to pick one country to live in that isn't the U.S., Canada, or Sweden, where would you live?
Australia. Well, God, that was quick. My first thought is Australia. I loved Australia, but I liked UK as well. Was UK? UK was no. Not
UK
one
is
okay.
UK is all right. He just said Sweden, Canada, or US are the only three you can.
Oof. I think
I'd do Scotland.
Would you?
I totally would.
Because of the women's accents.
The women's accents and the green stuff, and don't you know who I am?
The green stuff?
Yeah, they got the green stuff.
Is it legal there?
Well, like, okay, where's Copenhagen? That's in Denmark?
Sweden. Or Copenhagen, Denmark. I'm sorry, you're right, Denmark.
So that sounds like a cool place, speaking of pot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't think of anywhere else but Scotland, because Scotland...
You're not thinking of Amsterdam, are you?
No, maybe. Okay. Am I thinking?
I don't know if Copenhagen is it legal in Copenhagen. I know it's legal in
Amsterdam's legal
in Amsterdam. Yeah,
I just don't want to live. I'm trying to think here. I'd like to live in a desert country.
It was almost a Pumbaa moment. Yeah, I'll be the first one to say that was almost a Pumbaa moment.
It was half Pumbaa. It's fine.
Yeah, half in the Pumbaa.
I don't know. Italy, maybe. There's lots of places.
Yeah, I'd even seriously go back to Japan. I don't know how long you live there without the language barrier or with the language barrier, but
you just learn it like Patrick. Then you
could learn it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Japan would be on my list too, my short list. Mm-hmm. All right. What was your Hong Kong's cool too, by the way. Really cool. Mm-hmm. What was your that's a thing we already did. How about this one? This isn't spoilery, but it potentially is if no one's seen the whole series. Oscar says at the end of Game of Thrones, who is sitting on the Iron Throne?
Mm.
Does that give away something?
No. He's not asking about this last season. He's saying...
Generally,
when the whole series wraps up.
Yeah, but isn't that potentially spoilery if I say a certain name that either people assume is dead or I don't say a name that people assume is alive? You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
I could say Rob.
I'm saying Daenerys.
Okay. I'm going to say... Shit. I'm going to say Robb Stark. Jon Snow.
Oh, that was almost going to be an even better spoiler. It was going to be so amazing. And Melisandre said, oh, you know, while I'm at it, let's see if I can...
I know, Brandon Stark, but it'll have wheels. How about that?
It'll be a rolling Iron Throne.
That's what'll happen.
Beautiful.
If the rule is you got to have Targaryen blood... Oh, see, I got to shut up. I'm going to shut up now.
Right.
Even though it's been long enough and you people should be caught up.
It's going to be Hot Pie is going to be sitting on the throne.
I don't think people should be this far behind on a show that they all claim to love so much and can't be spoiled on.
Right. You know I agree. I think...
Are we 2 weeks yet, Mr.
Certainly,
Gilligan?
Certainly has been 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, did you know that there's like all kinds of F-bombs and nudity in the Netflix version of Breaking Bad?
What?
Yeah, that's a bummer because, look, fine, whatever, but when I watched the show, it was all right off the TV, off the AMC there. I'd get it the next day on iTunes, and there was none of that. I mean, yeah, the show's edgy and has your shits and your dams and your hells and your occasional once-in-a-while F-bombs, but it was pretty clean for the most part. And Nick is finally of an age. He's 16. He's like, Dad, when can I watch that? I said, you know what? I think you're old enough. I think you can watch that. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting over there on his computer the other day watching the first episode of Breaking Bad. And he goes, whoa, I hear him say that across the room. And I go, what's the matter? And he goes, there's like boobs and all kinds of like death bombs and stuff. And I'm like, what? What are we talking about here? And sure enough, it's unedited on Netflix. And,
wow.
And by that, I didn't realize there was even an unedited version of the show. I thought
sure
it was
he wasn't
just
watching Breaking Barbara, the porn parody of Breaking Bad.
No, it Breaking definitely Babs. Wasn't. Breaking Babs. No, it definitely wasn't that. It was like the show. And sure enough, I did some searching around and it says, yeah, there's like a unedited, like adult cut on Netflix, which I didn't know. He's like, well, I don't necessarily want to see that. And I said, all right, well, what do you want to see? Can I watch Walking Dead? Yes! Because there's no edit of that. You can just watch that. That's just mayhem and blood, and it's just the way it was. So go watch that. So now he's watching Breaking Bad.
Whose boobs are happening in Breaking Bad?
Jesse Pinkman's got some blonde over.
Oh, okay.
Or something.
Yeah, I was just hoping it wasn't ATM lady.
No. Gosh, no. Oh, my gosh, no. That woman. She's frightening. I like her, though.
Yeah.
Final question. How about that? One more.
Okay, sure.
Favorite Pixar movie asks...
easy.
Jonathan Mooney.
Easy.
Is it? What is it?
Incredibles.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the one. Duh.
Yeah.
That's mine, too. Yeah, that's too easy. We have to do one more of these.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that was loud.
Sorry. I was adjusting my headphones and whacked the microphone.
Okay, Dave Fitzgerald says, how should I respond to this? Is there something I should do with a response? And all it is a screenshot of an email that says, please. Oh. I just realized what it was. It's here, chat. You can look at it. It's it says, please ass attached our response. Any further queries you may have, return message by email. So please ass attached.
Please ass attached.
I don't know. Well, what should they say? What should he say?
You got to kind of follow the directions, I guess, if you want. Be rude not to.
That's amazing.
God, I have no idea.
I don't know either. It's really funny to me, though. It's really funny to me. All right. I guess that's it. There's a ton of other things, but we can save them for next week. Thank you all for participating in today's Ask TMS. If you'd like to help the show keep having this little extra show every week, TMSPM, you can do that by helping us at patreon.com/TMS. What happened? I missed something on the chat?
No, for free ages is clearly you just have to please the attached ass.
This is a little too simple. I don't know. I feel like I'm giving up more there. Anyway, what else? Patreon.com/TMS. Thanks everybody for supporting us there. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Everything is linked there. We'll be back Monday with a whole new week of shows. That's going to do it. Let's get out of here. Brian, do you have music for the end here?
I could probably come up with something, I guess.
All right.
How about spin this one right here? Okay. Matt from Chicago wrote in. Said, howdy, Scott and Brian. I just mustered up the courage to quit my corporate job in order to start my own business. I'm excited and scared, but most of all, determined. If you could please play the Deftones cover of Drive, originally by The Cars, sometime during the week of July 25th, also the week of my 33rd birthday. I'd like to dedicate it to my wife for all of her patience and understanding as I transition into the next stage of my journey. I promise I'll work as hard as I can to make make a better life for our family. I thought he was telling that to us, but I guess that's to his wife. Thanks to TMS for all the hours of entertainment.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, sure. Happy to do it.
That's awesome.
This is great. This is... I played this, looks like I played this back in episode 817 of Coverville, and I think it was a Cars cover story. So if you like this, go listen to the rest of that episode, because I remember, I don't know, coming to Cars cover stories are just such a fun show to put together.
That would have been, what, circa 2008, 2009, something like that?
Yeah, right around there, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2009, 2010 maybe.
Oh, when was, because 500 was 8. You're right. Never mind.
Yeah. These are the Deftones from their 2006 album Saturday Night Wrist. I love this cover. You're going to love it too. It is The Cars Drive.
come around when you break.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Like,